Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 492. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
The official podcast of Apex Legends. Yeah.
I wonder if EA knows that.
Can we get some money out of them? Like, right? Get some better production on the show? And that would be nice. But Earl is here as well.
Hi!
And our apocalypse photographer, Jeff, is here too.
Did you see the one I posted on the Pillsbury Doughboy?
Yes.
So cool.
Yeah, your community is getting rather creative now.
Yeah, that was great. It's like, so like in our downtown, in one of the apartments above like the bars, someone has like a giant Pillsbury Doughboy in their window and he's holding a sign that says send cookies.
Did you send cookies?
I didn't send shit. Maybe some junk mail in their box.
Yeah. You gotta get that Office Max circular in there.
Yep.
We're all hanging in as best as we can for another week of quarantining, social distancing and such.
Can I talk about the saddest picture I had to take today?
Yeah.
I went outside for lunch just to kind of go outside and walk around. And I wasn't paying any attention when I was just walking, but it dawned on me after a few blocks that I realized the liquor store I usually go to wasn't open because there's like nobody outside of it. So I continued walking and I just kind of looped around my neighborhood. And I passed by 4 liquor stores, and they were all closed. So I don't know if they're closed, or if it's... I mean, it was like 1, so it might have been too early, though I went back out around 4:30 just in case, and they were still closed. So I'm not sure if we are not opening up or what, but the picture of a closed liquor store is just really sad to me right now.
1, liquor stores are essential. Mine are busy as they've ever been. 2, I swear to God, you know, since I spent all day going to different businesses in my city, it's like every business is a speakeasy now. You have to like know the secret to getting in. Like, yeah. It's fucking crazy. Like there's an optometrist, right? And in order to like fucking for me to like deliver their mail right now, I have to go around to the alley and like walk down some steps to this wooden door. And then I like do a secret knock on the wooden door and someone will show up to the door and take the mail. Like it's fucking insane, dude. And that's like all over, like, you know, it's like anywhere, like restaurants. It's like, you know, pull up and then you like have to call and then someone will come out and bring your food and just all sorts of weird shit like that.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm all for that. But I'm like, I don't. There's no back entrance.
You gotta know the secret. You gotta go to the secret.
Like, these are those gates that you pull down that just covers the store because I live in a not so great neighborhood. So like, they aren't gonna have ways for people to break in. I did hear some other gentlemen as I was walking by, the 3rd or 4th one, saying that they mentioned something about Friday. So I'm going to go out there tomorrow and see if they're open. I mean, if not, I've already been researching options. There are ways to get liquor delivered to you. And do not cry for me. I still have plenty. I was just going to go restock because I realized I had no bourbon.
That's bad, Earl. How do you learn how to bourbon?
Need bourbon.
But I didn't have any bourbon. Oh. So I was like, oh, I need to get bourbon because I mean, right now I have vodka, tequila, gin, and rum. And fireball whiskey.
Of course
whiskey.
You need bourbon.
Earl's running like an underground bar.
I mean, yes, I also have beer, but that's... Those. Yes, I figured you don't know how long this is going to last. I just had to be prepared. And I will be honest with you. Maybe it's a me thing. Liquor does not last that long. Like, you mix it, and by the time you mix, like, 2 or 3 drinks, it's all over.
Uh-huh.
Well, some strong drinks there, buddy.
It was like, screw that.
No,
little tiny bit of orange juice, 12 shots of vodka.
You know, I feel that way.
A splash of orange.
I feel that way, especially about bottles of wine. They just go so quick. It's like, especially if you're splitting a bottle of wine with somebody, it's like you have 2-3 glasses and that's it. It's like gone.
Yeah. I used to do something called Red, White, and Blue on the 4th of July. Who knows if we're going to... So, it's a Blu-ray copy of Independence Day, white meat, red meat, or red meat, white wine, depending on my mood. And the first few times I did it, I would open up a bottle of wine, get like half an hour into the movie. I'm like, oh, this wine's done already. There's like 2 hours left. What is going on here? So yeah, wine does nothing.
Wine does nothing.
I don't like wine, so.
I like a good red. I can't stand white wine. It's not good.
What about a rosé?
Eh. It's a red wine for people who like white wine.
So yeah, we're still surviving, and part of that is we're playing some video games. Jeff and I have been playing Resident Evil 3 remake. We both finished it. So, what'd you think, Jeff?
I thought it was good, but you know, coming off RE2 last year, which was pretty much my game of the year. I mean, I put it at number 2 last year. This is like does not live up to that. Like, it has like the same solid foundation, like, you know, same engine, it controls the same, like the mechanics are the same and everything, but it just feels like a quick and dirty sequel to me or something. Like, the levels are not as inspired. It's slightly more action oriented than the first two. I don't know. What'd you think?
Similar, like much like Resident Evil 3 proper, the original one, it tones down the puzzles a bit. There are very few in this game at all. And it's more combat and chase sequence, you know. I liked it. I still think it's a great game. It's just... It's missing something, but I also thought that about Resident Evil 2 Remake. And both are missing like what kind of made those games unique on the original versions of them.
Tank controls.
No, I mean, that was certainly something. But no, like I enjoyed the new controls here. But like Resident Evil 2 was missing the interlocking, intertwined you know, stories. Where like you would do stuff in one and it would affect the other one. This one is missing the like adventure game choices where it's like, all right, Nemesis is coming and it would just kind of freeze and it would give you two options: jump off the bridge or, you know, do like another option or like fight him there and like so. And depending upon what you chose, like it directed the story in a way like. It still ends up in the same spot, but it created different paths for you to take. Like if you chose one thing, you might not experience like another.
Yeah,
another
and it's like at least a slight reason to play through it.
Right. Like this is going to be like no matter what you do in this game, like it's still going to be going to be the same thing. Like go get the fire hose, get the wire cutters. And you're going to go through the same motions each time you do it. Whereas the original games, I can go back and play that and then get a different experience because of what made it original.
Yeah, like, you know, besides the fact of, like, I think Resident Evil 2 is just a longer game. Like, I feel like Resident Evil 2 gave you way more reason to replay it with, like, the four different tracks you could go on. And here it's like... there's one character, and that seems like it's it. Like, I can play through it again, I guess, but... And I will, but...
You've said it. We were talking before the show started about it being shorter. To me, it is shorter, but I don't think it's that much shorter. It took me 6 hours to finish it. The original took me, like, 6.5. My first runs of Resident Evil 2 last year took me about 8.5. For both combined and the originals of that took me about, you know, 8 or 9 as well. So it's only a couple hours shorter than that. It's just that you don't have that other option.
It just feels like there's less areas. And then I read that, you know, I've only played a little bit of the original Resident Evil 3, but I heard like entire sections have just been removed for this.
They have, but they've added different areas as well. Like that whole underground sequence that like what after you turn the power back on, that whole underground sequence is new. That's just not there in the original. The hospital is way longer. Like it's a way bigger area in this one than it is in the original. The original is like four rooms.
I know, but it just feels like you should do that, but include all the area. Like do that.
I agree. The whole game. And I think it's more because of the way they approach the story. What happens here is the train. You still get on the train and you're heading towards out of the city or wherever, and it derails. And that happens in the original game as well. But where it derails in the original is you end up at this clock tower area, and that's completely gone here because you end up at like this dock area. Which isn't in the original game either. And then you have a boss battle with Nemesis and Jill gets infected. That all happens, Jill gets infected, but Carlos just, then has to go out to the hospital, and that's where the hospital sequence takes place in the original. And this one, it's like, all right, we're going to tighten up the story a little bit, make it a little more cinematic. We're going to eliminate the clock tower, and we're going to eliminate, the bar area or whatever. Like they have other sequences here. They've added new areas. At the end, there's where they're doing the vaccine type shit. In fact, if I remember correctly, that sequence is actually out of the end of Resident Evil 2, which was missing from that game, and added into this one. I was like, maybe I'm crossing them up, but I did just play them recently, and I could have sworn this was in that other game. And so it's like they added, and there's like a really weird boss battle at the end here, which I thought was fun, but it's a different type of boss battle than what's in the original game.
Is that the helicopter rooftop with the rocket launcher to Nemesis, or am I thinking?
No, so this is in this one, you're in like an umbrella lab type thing, and you have to push these batteries in and charge up this rail gun, which looks really cool. But in the original, you're in basically a generator room, and you're doing the same thing. You're running around pushing the batteries in to get it charged up and to get something charged up that will take Nemesis down. It's just in a different way. Like this is way more streamlined. In the original one, it's more of a maze that you're kind of operating around.
That fight kind of pissed me off a little bit. Cause like I kept not getting the third battery in time. Like just finally one time, like I made it. Cause if I didn't make it in time, then all the fucking like glowy spots come back on the boss and you have to, like, shoot them all down again.
So that was how I got the one in on the one side, and then I waited and he glowed back up, and then I pushed the other one in, and then I did it again. Shot all the glowy bits again. Like I just went really slow with it. I can't remember his name, but the other guy with Carlos, his partner.
I don't remember.
But he's given an expanded role. Like he's not even. I don't even really think you come across him in the original, except for when he gets shot and killed by the Russian guy. So they've added characters and added more depth to Carlos, and I don't know. I like this. I think it's really good. It's just I don't know if I want to go back right away and do the challenges.
I just felt like there was way less I don't know, like, take Resident Evil 2 when you're in, like, the police station. It's, like, this big interconnected area where you're kind of, like, unlocking different sides of it and, like, getting new keys and this and that. And, like, that's in here, but it more so feels like, okay, you'll finally get a key that lets you progress further, and you can backtrack if you want some bullets and shit.
Right, there's not like, much, like, it's more of a linear thing.
Yeah, like it's...
Cause,
I like that playground.
I feel like that was the complaint coming off of 3 after 2 in general.
It is.
The first time around.
It's the exact, like, 3 is more of a linear game. It's not, like, 2, I think, appeals to Jeff in, like, the Metroid type way, right? Like, where
I mean, 1 is like that, too.
Yeah. And then 3 is way more streamlined. Like, it's more action-oriented. It's more, like, there's still puzzles in the original 3. It's just not... it's more linear, like you're not unlocking areas, and
there is like the hospital's kind of designed how I would like a Resident Evil level, where it's like, you know, it's like this contained building where you're trying to navigate around it. It's just everything feels like less so than the last one, except for, and here's the weirdest thing, because what I have played of Resident Evil 3, like the original, I remember Nemesis being like this constant fucking, like, force that's just, like, following you around, much like how Mr. X was in the Resident Evil 2 remake. And here, he's just a boss that shows up here once in a while. Like,
yeah, there's a couple other spots where he shows up and he'll chase you.
But you just run away and get to, like, the next, like, it's like a scripted sequence.
Yeah. And that's kind of actually how it is in the original Resident Evil. It's just... he'll only chase you through like certain screens of the game, and then you'll reach a certain point and he won't anymore.
Always being around, like, and I remember that being, I didn't like that about the old game because of the controls, you know.
And yeah, I think, like, that was also one of the things people said with Mr. X, is that they did take a lot of those things from Nemesis. Like, Mr. X was in the original Resident Evil 2, but beefed up for the remake.
Right, Mr. X was more the boss here, that he was more the Nemesis boss than he was this. Like, he would show up every once in a while in Resident Evil, the original Resident Evil 2, but it wasn't like, I found him annoying in the remake, where it was just...
He was in it a lot in the remake. I think they did it well, and he does finally go away in the remake. Like, you know... The latter half of the game, he just kind of shows up at his scripted moments. But, like, good lord, once he shows up in the police station near the beginning, he's like, he's stalking you. Yeah, like, and it's unnerving. But,
That's like, I heard a lot of people going, you took it as that, right? Like, unnerving, and it creates this dread. I was just like, he's preventing me from doing what I want to do. And
it's no, that annoying. Also though,
it's more frustrating than anything. So I'm glad they didn't do that here. Outside of the few areas where he'll chase you,
I like being able to breathe and explore way more. I just accepted him as like part of it, and like, you know, it is like a scary thing, like, or like, you know, like this anxiety inducing thing. But yeah, I would rather just. I like the how. You know, and like, especially like the original Resident Evil, there's so many areas that are just quiet. Like, there might be a zombie or two you have to kill, but then that area is quiet and you could like just
and
take it in.
That's something that's not really going on in Resident Evil 3. Like,
no,
it's almost every room almost has like, there's very few times when you're breathing. Like, there's almost always combat going on, and, at least very early on, you're always like, shit, I don't have enough ammo, and the zombies are so sporadic and kind of twitchy with their movements that you almost feel like you're wasting ammo sometimes, like, because you're lining up a headshot and then they just all of a sudden like shift 3 steps over to the right, and it's like, god damn it. but that just comes with fighting. Like, it makes them a better a better enemy to fight than in the original game, where they just kind of shuffled at you. I really liked it. I will play more of it at some point, just not right away.
I might give it another playthrough this weekend, but yeah, for me, I don't know.
I want to unlock the assault rifle with unlimited ammo.
I'm sorry, you cut out for a second for me.
I want to unlock that. I want to unlock that assault rifle with unlimited ammo. You need to get like 28,000, points or whatever to utilize. So you have to do a bunch of in-game challenges to unlock them.
Did you try the multiplayer?
Not yet. You?
I loaded it up and I tried to find a match and I got stuck with like waiting for one more player like for a minute or two and I was like, you know what? I really don't give a shit about this stuff. It's not why I play Resident Evil, and I just like gave up.
Like, I mean, it sounds like it might be a game you like. You like
it sounds
that
interesting?
You like the Friday the 13th one?
I like that asynchronous.
Yeah, and that's like, what I understand that that's what this is. I haven't played it.
And I think you mean asymmetrical, not
asynchronous. Yeah, I don't mean not asynchronous.
That would be interesting.
The one versus everyone else type of multiplayer where like the one person's like a super powerful monster or whatever. Like, I like that idea. But again, it didn't seem like there was that many people playing, or either that, or it just wasn't like functioning properly when I tried it. And
so, or both.
Yeah, it could be both.
It's probably both. It's also Crackdown 3 is it's like separated out into its own separate app.
Well, it was originally going to be its own game, right?
Yeah, I guess. I did hear that, but it took me a minute to find, though. I kept like going back to the menu. I'm like, I hit B, 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 and I'm like, okay, where's the multiplayer? I heard there was a multiplayer.
Yeah, and
finally went out to my games, and I saw,
right there. It's by its own game, yeah. Before we move off of Resident Evil, I will say this one's a little more buggy than 2 was.
2 was.
I came across multiple rooms where the enemies were completely frozen.
Really?
They wouldn't take damage, and they wouldn't move. They were still physical bodies that I had to move around. Like, I couldn't walk through them, but it was like really weird. You like walk in to it happened specifically in the hospital area. And in one case it was a hunter. There was two hunters in one room and not like in like this hospital room area. I think you're trying to get a key or something at that point. And I'm going up to go get the key and I'm like, shit. And I back out of the room and then I like peek back in and they're still just standing there.
Oh, you know what? I did see them standing there. I think once I entered the room though, they reacted. Anyway,
yes, they never reacted.
I know the room you're talking about.
And then I came back and then there's this room where these zombies, the first time you go by, they're behind like this, it looks like a containment room. A glass containment room, and when I came back, like they busted out of it. But when, as you're playing as Carlos at that point, and when I came back, they busted through and I killed them. But then when I came back as Jill to kind of pick up the other items throughout the hospital, there were two zombies in there that were just standing, like they weren't moving. It's like it was a funny bug. I thought. It wasn't one that like broke the game. It was just like, this is stupid.
I can't say that I noticed anything like that, but I will say this. You know, one thing I hate in like every Resident Evil game is the one chapter where you have to play as someone else. Like, it just takes me out of it, dude. Like, I don't know. I feel like you're like, you know, you're building up your character in a way, at least your character's like inventory and like I'm attached to that. And it's just like, no, here's a whole bunch of new different shit. And it's like, you're in a different area. And I just hate whenever they do that. Then they do that in like literally every Resident Evil. It could be worse.
You could be ashy.
Yeah.
True.
I hated those parts. Carlos, at least anybody hated those parts.
Nobody. Carlos at least has like a pretty kick-ass assault rifle. And, And I didn't mind him as a character, but yeah, it is like, ah, shit. Like, I built up Jill. Like, I've gotten attachments from.
Yeah, I'm invested in that. Like, and now
I got hip pouches. Like, I'm used to carrying like an extra couple like mixed herbs, and like now I'm back to like a small inventory space. It's like, god damn it!
Like, and then the weird thing is like you build up Carlos's character. Like, you get hip pouches for him and shit, and it's just like you're never coming back to him after that. Like, it's weird. Like, I don't know. Not a huge fan of that, but they do it. It feels like in almost all of them. Anyways,
yeah. So that's Resident Evil. Earl, what have you been playing this week?
More Animal Crossing.
Oh yeah.
Bunny Day stuff. Actually, aside from Animal Crossing, partially because I knew I was getting to do this podcast, and partially because I am on a quest to find an RPG to play in addition to Animal Crossing, because I figured it'd be something meaty to play. I've been checking out some demos. I've not gotten a chance to check out as many as I wanted to. And one of them is not even, the first one's not even an RPG. I think I mentioned when I went to PAX that there was a bunch of games I called not Overcooked. So there's a demo of a game coming out sometime soon. I think this month. I don't know if it's this week or next week. Called Moving Out, which is on the Switch and I think other systems, where it's like the name implies you play a bunch of movers trying to get stuff from inside the house to a moving van as quickly and as respectfully as you can in a set number. You know, like, you don't have a time limit, but you know, like, if you get it done in X number of minutes, you get a gold. If you take it longer, silver, and if you take it longer than that, bronze, and if you don't, then you know, nothing. You are pathetic. And it's one of those games that is physics based, which I'm not too keen on them. I enjoy the physics and stuff. It's just like the characters control so weirdly to me. And I get what they're going for, but it hardly ever works for me. So this is no exception to that. I played like two levels and I'm like, I can see this is fun, but I don't think I would play it, and I don't think it has online, which would make it an even harder sell right now. It's not like I can gather a bunch of friends around to check it out.
Right.
And then I am... Oh, yeah, anything that... I assume none of you care.
No, it seems... I'm not a big fan of, like, physics-y moving games either.
Yeah.
I die a lot in them.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you have to die in this one, but yeah, like, your characters don't, like, things just move really wonky.
Yeah, what's that? I think there's a game, it's called Human Fall Flat.
Yes.
it's very physics oriented, and like everything just like feels like you don't have complete control over everything.
Yeah. You know which one I've seen played and I think it looks fun, but I would never play. Is that, what is it, Gang Beast?
I've heard of that one, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of streamers play it because it's really funny to see. But it just looks so frustrating the way people just kind of fall over and stuff. I'm like, I couldn't do this. It would drive me up the wall. And the other game I'm playing, which I'm actually currently playing now, is a Trails of Mana. Which is a remake, remastered edition of a PlayStation 2 title, I believe, which is the spiritual successor to Secret of Mana. And there is a third... Isn't it, the third game's a Final Fantasy Tactic game, isn't it? Or is it Final Fantasy Tactic? Because there's like a...
Of the Mana games?
Yeah. Because there's a trilogy that came out with all three games, and then this is a remake of...
Trials of Mana?
Yeah, Secret of Mana Trials, and there's like a third one, which I think is Final Fantasy Tactics.
Oh, Mana.
I don't know.
But yeah, so I'm checking out the demo for the remake. And so far, it seemed pretty decent. It's an action RPG, which is more of my jam than turn-based. Simple enough combos... you get to pick, you know, it's like the name implies, it's a trio, so you get to pick three different characters of the subset. Each one specializes in something different. You have your main character. I should know these names. I do not. and yeah, she seems pretty good. Bob and Donald. Let's go with that. She's a mid-range fighter with a spear. She has some magical abilities. I just got the second character, and one of the things it does, which I think is really neat, which I'm going through right now, is when you get a character, you can be like, oh, I want to see this, like, I want to see what this character was doing before they joined up with me. And you can go through a flashback to see how they got to where you are now. And I think that's a very neat way of, and it's an actual gameplay item, and it's not like a flashback where it's just an extended cutscene or something like that. So I think that's a really nifty way of having party members. The only downside to that seems to be that even though you're playing this flashback and it's interactive, you don't actually get like nothing that you do. Like you don't get to keep items and weapons you find during the flashback, which I think is silly, especially being that you're just being in this character. I think it should be that you can get stuff and have them join your party with like that cash or items that they find, because I'm like, I'm playing through this and I'm like, why am I collecting this stuff if it does not matter in the grand scheme of things?
This was all part of collection of mana.
Well, the secret Trials of Mana is like, it's really weird because there's a collection, the Mana collection or something like that, which has the original game. This is a remastered of it. Oh, so man. Yes, and this is coming out separately, I think, June, I want to say.
Okay, and this is like what a 3D remake of that game. Got it. That collection is Final Fantasy Adventure, which was the original Mana game, Secret of Mana, and Trials of Mana.
Yes. And then, and I will be honest with you, as much as I'm enjoying the gameplay and stuff, one thing I am not very enjoying, the voice acting is not great. And it's weird because this is a remake. I don't know if the remake came out before, but like it's a modern JRPG. You would think that they would, well, that's not true because there's still some JRPGs with really janky voice acting in this day and age.
Yep.
And I only gave like Xenoblade and stuff a pass because the voice acting was British, and we don't get many British dubs.
It's funny though, with the you got this remake of Trials of Mana coming with not great voice acting, and then they're also doing that remake of Final Fantasy, which releases very shortly,
in an hour and 15 minutes,
which evidently is very well done. So. It's funny. So do you think you'll play the full game when it comes out in 2 weeks?
I will. It depends. It honestly depends on how much younger we're going to be in this situation, and if I find anything between then. Because like right now, I don't know if you've seen my tweets. I've been trying. Like, I'm not a huge JRPG fan, so I'm never the person to speak on this. But I've been trying to find one that it fits my style, and so like right now it's kind of narrowed down to like six. I think it's like it's this one. It's Final Fantasy VII Remake. It is Star Ocean to the End of Time. Ni No Kuni. What are the other ones? Undertale, Tales of Vesperia, and there's like one or two, there's one or two more.
I've heard the Tales games are excellent. Ni No Kuni is good.
Tales of Vesperia is fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, the other one was Persona 5 Royal. And Persona sounds interesting, but then everybody's like, it's like 100 hours. And part of me's like, oh man, 100 hours, that's great right now. Part of me's like, that's still 100 hours.
Yeah. That's the one. That's the reason I've heard great things about Persona 3, 4, and 5, but them being so long, it's just such a turn off for me. Well, I'm looking at some of the artwork for this game, and it's
pretty. Yeah, that was the other thing I was going to say. I think we are pretty good with our audience, so it won't. There are some anime-ass women proportions in this game.
I'm looking at this. She looks like maybe a queen or something. And she has she's showing some cleavage there.
Yeah, there Ooh. Are there are other things. There's a witch I'm looking at right now called Isabel. And I'm pretty sure Jisuke, her costume cannot hold her boobs.
Yeah, I'm wondering how this lady is holding her boobs are staying in her outfit.
And it's one of those things that you always notice, because like they did the camera angle and she enters the frame boobs first. And I'm like, okay, that is a choice. But yeah, it's very, you know, like it's whatever. Like I play Xenoblade Chronicles 2, and I was, but sometimes it's just like, okay, you know, it's, yeah, it's just not a turnoff. It's just like, why? This isn't appealing.
So yeah, it's just, it looks weird.
It's unnatural. Like, if you make, like, there's a way to make them big, but make them big in a way that's like, okay, I could see that on somebody and they wouldn't have like, back problems.
This person looks like they'd have back problems, and also their clothes have to be glued to them because
yeah.
I'm not sure how it's being supported.
And how are you fighting that?
Well, that's always a question with anything anime related. Speaking of gratuitous shots, in Resident Evil, anytime you have to crawl anywhere. There is they kind of zoom in on Jill's butt. And they did a very good job on her butt. It is an appealing looking butt. there is quite a bit of that. Earl, we play anything else or not about it?
That's about it. My Game Pass did expire this week, which I'm
disappointed in.
Because I don't think I told this story, because like when they did the Xbox, like the conversion of Vive to Game Pass last year at E3, I was in Germany and I didn't want to miss out on this, so I just did it right away and not thinking, because I know a lot of people just kind of re-up their Xbox Vive until, because I think the max is like 3 years and then they put it up. On the bright side, it ran out in such a good enough time that I think Newegg and Amazon were doing buy 3 months, get 3 months free. So I do have 6 months to add to it eventually, but I'm just trying to even it out. So, like, and I assume this is the same with you folks, aside from Jeff, is that, like, you know, like, you hear work from home, I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna watch movies and play video games all day. And it's like, no, crap, I actually do have to work from home.
Yeah, that's reality.
So I'm like, I have all this time. And I'm like, yeah, I don't have all this time. So yeah, I was like, I'm gonna probably do it this weekend when I actually have time and not just like start an account again where I'm not actually using my Xbox for anything.
Yeah, I would wait till you're playing something on it again.
Yeah, so, and then like one of my best friends just got like a month. I think he got a month for like $1, so he downloaded the Halo Master Chief Collection. Complaining about the same thing everybody else complains about: the fact that the game is 115 gigs.
It's big, yeah.
And so yeah, we're gonna trying to find a time, because he has two kids, to play that as well. So
great game. Jeff, you recently beat Reach too, right?
Yeah, holds up. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's
good to hear, because that was my, I think Reach and ODST were my favorite campaigns in the franchise.
Yeah,
Reach is great. It's so varied because you have the skills that the, you know, the jetpack and the the running, and then there's the, you know, there's the saber mission where you're flying. Up in space. Like there's some like really cool missions going on in that game.
Yeah,
Tony, what have you been playing?
Well, I've been playing a lot of Mountain Blade 2, which I talked about last week, but now I've actually gotten into the good part. So I got after my computer died over the weekend and I had to start my game over again, which was thrilling, by the way. Don't let your computer die. I started to play the game like more seriously. So you can spend most of your time in the game like hunting down looters and finding random quests. But the real like compelling part of the game is trying to go from being just a dude in the world to owning and running your own kingdom. So there's a bunch of things you could do. You start hiring people to work for you, and you build up a clan, and then you can have your clan hired out as mercenaries, and then build up your reputation so that you can actually pledge yourself to a lord as like a vassal. So I did that. I had like a group of like 80 guys following me, and I became a mercenary for a king. And he hired me to fight his enemies, and we went to war together, and I became his vassal. This is the part where the game gets really cool. So you're his vassal, and you kind of have this relationship where you work for him, he gives you like rewards. So we ended up going to war against someone and taking a castle, and he just gave me the castle. So now I have a castle.
That's nice of him.
Yeah, I thought that was a good thing for him to do for me, his friend who killed people for him.
that sounds like a threat more than anything right now.
There's a lot of really fun aspects to this game because there's so many different levels to it. So I am a person. So if we go, say, into battle, I've got my 80 guys. I am a person on the field fighting the battle. Now, the king likes me, so he appoints me to command part of his army in the battle. So there's like this choosing process. It's kind of like, in Apex Legends or what have you, where you're choosing your guy before the battle before the game starts. So the vassals in their order of like importance get to choose their role on the battlefield. So like somebody will be in command of the infantry and somebody will be in command of the archers. And I keep choosing the cavalry. So I always end up choosing second and somebody chooses infantry before me. So I've never actually been to the infantry, but whatever.
He's not very about it, though.
That's right. I really well. The annoying part is I want to try, but I can't try because I'm like the second vassal and not the first vassal. But that's neither here nor there. So we get into the battle. I'm in charge of like the horse archers, say. The king will be on the battlefield, like giving orders out to various parts of his army. So he'll be like, infantry charge and archers stand here. And then he's like shouting orders at me. I could do whatever the hell I want. But he's like, Antonius, that's my character. Antonius, charge. And so I have my horse archers charge along with me and we, go and fight the enemy. And it's kind of cool. So I can order this particular contingent of the army around. I have no control over the rest of it. And there's this huge combat going on. Like I've seen battles with as many as like 900 people. And they're all like individual on the battlefield. And it's kind of like you would see something like in Total War, except it's a lot more close and personal because I'm actually a person walking around in the middle of this, like swinging my sword and all this stuff's happening around me. It's like you're walking around and you see like the line of the enemy and you can see them like moving their hands. So you put your shield up. So there's a couple times I just stuck my shield up and like a javelin will stick right through it. that kind of thing is really cool. So you're like fighting on the battlefield and it's really up close and personal. I've had horses get killed under me. So like I've been a knight like running around with my lance and had my horse die and like you tumble to the ground and now you're like an infantryman wandering around like trying to find another horse because all of your equipment's meant for you to be on horseback. So you're kind of useless. And like it's just complete madness, and so there's that kind of like there's like a strategy aspect there, and then there's like a action combat game. It's very RPG heavy. Your character has a lot of stats, one-handed combat, two-handed combat, using pole arms, archery, throwing weapons, that kind of. So there's a whole bunch of different ones. So there's a whole lot of character building and developing your guy to get better stats in certain areas. Advancing them, it's kind of like Skyrim. like you learn by doing. So if you want your character to be a really good siege engineer, well, the best way to do that is to go find a castle and besiege it. Or if you really want your character to be good at managing troops, have him pay the troops money, and that will raise his value over time. So there's that part of it, and it's just a lot of aspects. Like it's like it's an RPG, it's an action combat game, it's a strategy game. So eventually, the king gives me a castle. I can manage the castle. I can determine what things are being built in the castle and who the garrison is and all that stuff. And then I can have the garrison join my army, follow me out, and then lead them in battle, and you know, kill people on. Beside them. So it's a really, really cool game with a lot of different aspects. I can see why it took them 7 years to build. It's just got a lot going on. It's not hard. It's not complicated. And it's a lot of fun.
There's just a lot of systems.
There's just a lot to it.
Nice.
And you could ignore parts of it. You're like, I don't care about owning a kingdom. You could just go around and like hunt down looters all day long. And there's like quest givers, so you can go to various towns all over the place and you know, free Bob's daughter or escort or caravan or whatever you wanted to do.
Cool. Anything else besides Mountain Blade?
Apex. Lots of Apex. Yeah. And I don't know, a tiny bit of Animal Crossing. I think I'm getting sick of Animal Crossing.
How can you get sick of Animal Crossing?
It's still
I know how you can get sick. I mean, not sick of it. Not sick of it, but I can understand why people would get bored of it. It's a very simple loop that it's more like it's if you're invested in your town. Like I am at the point where I just kind of check once or twice a day, mostly for my turnip prices to pay off my house and decorate my room. But like I've been checked out of like the core gameplay. I'm not designing my town. I'm not giving Tom Nook any of my you know, I'm not inviting new villagers to my area.
Question, two Animal Crossing questions, I guess. One, so I heard there's a way to get credits in Animal Crossing. Anybody know how that is? Like, how do you finish a game that can't be finished?
I've never.
There's an ending.
There's an ending. Like, I mean, it's not an ending, but what do you have to do? Is it complete your town or
get KK Slider to your town?
Okay, so it's the main quest that
I mean, it's like the end of the beginning of the game. You know what I mean? It's like you've got everything set now.
Okay,
you know what I mean? Like
do your dailies,
play your game.
Got it.
I mean,
I heard that.
I would count that. I mean, Animal Crossing is a game you can't finish. But if you're gonna say there's a finishing point, it would be like that and upgrading your house all the way. You know?
Got it. Yeah,
but I think you do get.
How do you do this?
I think you do get the credits to play. I could be wrong about this, but I think you do get the credits to play once KK Slider comes.
Okay. All right. Well, that gives me at least like a point to like look at. because I was like, well, all right. Do I want to do what Tom Nook is asking now? Like, I don't really care, but if there's a point to it other than
get that KK dude. So when you get KK Slider, then he'll show up every Saturday and play a concert for you. And when he shows up every Saturday, he gives you a song for free for your stereo.
Got it.
That's assuming Chris has a stereo and wants this.
I have a radio.
Yeah, whatever. Like, yeah, I have a little skull radio.
Yeah, I got that. That was like the first thing I had. I had the radio. It was in my tent.
I got
does he work on radios? I think you have to buy actual, like, I have proper vinyl player.
I mean, whatever. Anything that plays music will.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
I got a badass jukebox in my back room.
Yeah, somebody gave me a gas pump.
Yes, I have one of those too.
Thanks.
And I put it down, randomly. Yes. And then I'm like, oh, it totally goes in my racing car bedroom, so I could put it in there.
Okay, that makes sense. Like, if you had a, like, I was like, what do I do with this? So I just put it, like, by the town center. Just like, go fill up your gas, I guess, if you need it, folks, because I don't need it.
For the cars you don't have.
Right.
On a desert island that somehow gets out of business.
Yeah. And okay, and then the other question was, I got a gold nugget today.
Yeah,
save it.
I mean, that's what I assumed because I heard you guys talking last week about like gold tools.
I'm assuming that's how you build a gold tool is with those. So yeah they're pretty rare. I only have a couple so far.
All right, yeah,
I have one.
Okay, I have like four, so like, I'm not like behind the curve really on that. Like they're extra rare.
Yeah, they're pretty rare.
Jeff, you playing?
Get it from a balloon or?
No, I got it from a rock.
Okay.
Hitting rocks. It just popped out. I was like, holy shit, that's gold.
That's where I got most of mine.
You play anything else, Jeff, this week?
No. Well, not really. Just mostly a lot of Animal Crossing. I'm trying. I got blueprints for like a dumpster wallpaper and dumpster like floor, so it just looks like you're like your room is a giant landfill. And so I've been like trying to like I've been like asking on Twitter shit like anybody who's my friend send me fucking like you need like tires and boots and empty cans and it's like
yeah
no one has sent me fucking shit and you can't find it from the catalog.
I have to come to your town first, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We gotta be best friends.
So I do have a boot.
Well, you don't have to be best friends.
You just have to be friends to be able to mail something, right?
Yeah.
So I have to. So I don't I have to go have to there first.
Yeah, I think so. But what was I going to say? Is
I'm getting some shit from my town.
Yeah, and there's also a Nook Mile. Like, if you use the Nook Mile tokens,
is there a trash island?
Yes, there is. That's what I was getting to.
That's so terrible.
Oh yeah, you get more trash from like the islands and shit.
Well, there's one where it's like you just fish. Like my friend been there, and you just dig up trash, and you will get tires and boots, and like there are several recipes you can make with trash.
Yep, like I have trash bags I can make. Like I'm gonna make a trash room. It's gonna be so fucking awesome.
I will say I do like that. I do like some of the evolution of the game items. Like I just got my first magazine stack, which if you get enough magazine stacks, you can then build a bookcase with manga in it.
And see, like all this stuff is new. Like that wasn't in the previous game. So it's like I think this game really did add something to the series. Like there's no crafting at all, I don't think, in any of the previous
ones. I don't remember there being crafting previously.
I mean, the flip side to that is a lot of people are kind of so-so on the fact that things break.
So,
whatever.
See, that's the thing that's going to drive me out of the game. Like, I don't want to keep going.
It's literally
so quickly, though.
And it's like, it's not just I can't go back and rebuild it. I have to have the stuff to go rebuild it. So I'm always picking up sticks. And yeah, but I don't want to spend time picking up sticks. That sucks.
Well, I mean, you should already be doing that to like make your island nice. Like, I don't know. If I see a stick, I pick it up. But like, I'm at the point where it's like I never have to think about resources. Anytime something breaks or whatever, like I always have everything I need on me. So it's like
I don't have it on me. I have stuff I have.
Yeah, I got it on me.
I have it in my house.
Dude, I got like I got four rows. I got like. Dude, I can hold like 50 plus items at once or whatever.
Can you? Because the four rows is only 40.
So you get an extra row as well? Is there a way to get an extra row?
Yeah, you buy it at the ATM.
Well, there's four rows. How many miles do you have now? Because there's four total.
Yeah, so whatever it is, 40.
No, I'm asking Chris. I don't know if he has three or four.
I have three.
Okay, so you get one more.
Okay. Because like even with three, I'm like, I can't hold my resources because I fill up.
Sometimes I will run out of space even with the four rows, but you know, like.
You were just talking about how you.
No,
I never do, except for the times that I do.
I'll run out when I'm playing late at night and I don't want to put my shit into the Dropbox to sell. I want, you know, so then like, I'll like either have to go back to my house and store shit or whatever, you know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, that's annoying because when the game started, you know, the shop was in the tent.
It was open 24 hours a day.
Yeah. And it's like, all right, now we're to, you know, close at 10.
When the shop upgrades, it should have longer hours, if not be 24 hours. I don't know. Do you have the upgraded shop? Nobody knows. It just happens. Do you have
because I always end up playing the game after 10 o'clock, and I'm like, great. Now I lose 20% of everything. And
yeah, I'm like, I think 20% is too steep for me. Like, I'm like, I just wait till the morning. I'll fucking drop all shit right in front of the store. I don't give a shit. What, you know? Although, if you leave stuff in your savings account, which was what happens when you use the Dropbox, like, that does earn interest. But
you can also just put it in your savings account with that 20%, though.
Exactly.
It's once a month, right?
As I say, it only earns interest based off of what you have at the end of the month. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I have a bunch of money in there, too. I just paid off my my second room, so I just got the third room. The third room is my wardrobe.
That's $500,000 dollars for this tiny little room.
Well, most of it, I got most of it from the I paid the turnip market this week. I bought them at 90. I sold them for 615 bows. I made a decent profit, so I had enough to pay off my second room.
What's the price on the third upgrade? So the first upgrade is the bigger room.
Yes.
That's 200,000. What's the price on the third one?
Then it goes $350, then it goes $550.
Jesus Christ.
And then the third one is $792.
And is that the final one? Or?
No, because then you can add a basement and an upstairs.
Oh, shit. I know. I'm in a couple of Animal Crossing groups on Facebook now. I saw one upgrade. It's like, that'll be $1.2 million. Like,
yeah, I can tell you.
Shit, dude.
I can tell you, ultimately, the final upgrade is, I think, $3.2 million. But also, at that point, I assume they are thinking, there are ways to make money.
Oh, yeah.
Not faster, but easier. Like, for instance, if you are patient with bugs and fish, you could sell them to freaking CJ who give you more money than you would get from the shop. You know, turning items into the hot item. And some of the hot items don't tend to be massive, massive things. So you just need enough of that. Tends to get you more money. You know,
how does the hot items work? Because
it's just a random item that each store has, and everybody will have a different one. So just ask around. Like, I've had it be like dog stools, and I'm like, dog stools are super easy to make.
Yeah, you get like bank off of that. I don't do that at all. My girlfriend does that all the time. She's always like, "Do you check the hot item today?" I'm like, I've never checked it once because I don't give a fuck what the hot item
is. It's a weird economy simulator.
You know, like there's I think playing the stock market is like obviously like the big way to make money, but then also like you know the money trees that like if you plant them on certain days you could go well above $10,000 like how much you put in it like but you have to know which day it is like it's like
okay because I've done it with 99,000 bells and I've already gotten 10,000 bells back so yeah. I'm like
and the money tree only once.
Yes.
It only grows once.
Okay.
What you have to do...
So I can chop that tree down.
Yes. I think it then becomes a hardwood tree.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it only grows money once.
I chop the tree down when I'm done. There's times I forget to do it, but almost always, after I get the bags out of the tree, I chop it down because I don't want my island to become overcrowded with these money trees that aren't doing anything after that, you know? I actually started to deforest like the.
that's what I like. I'm thinking like I want to go through and because a lot of these trees don't make me any money. I want to chop them down and plant trees that do make me money.
Well, I want to build like you know there's like forest sections of my island that like are overrun with weeds and the fucking you know pine trees and shit that don't produce anything really, and. I'm finally like, I'm going to make that nice to move villagers in. Like, that's the point I'm at in the game where I'm just, like, trying to move as many villagers in. Because you eventually do get control over that. Like, you're just like...
Yeah, and I know you have to move them in, but I also don't want to move them in because I don't want to cut down my trees.
I very badly want to populate my town. So, like, I'm all over that.
I have five people there, and I hardly remember to talk to them all. And they give me too much sass. Oh, you're talking to me again. I'm like, because the game tells me to.
I just want as many characters as possible because that like increases opportunities for like interesting shit to happen. But like so far, I'm getting really pissed because I'm getting so many like duplicates. Basically, like I got two squirrels, I got two gorillas, I thought I was about to get two pigs today, but actually the other guy, Hamfrey, turned out to be a hamster. So
I want all the villagers on my island to leave except for Ellie the elephant. Because she's super cute and the rest of them are ugly and I hate them.
Who else do you have?
I don't know. I have like a... it's like an anteater looking thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I have a... he's like a lady monkey. She's annoying. Who else? I have like this aardvark looking motherfucker. Like they're all ugly, and it's like, what are you even supposed to be? And then like Ellie's just like chilling underneath a tree.
I have a red bird that's sick all the time.
Do you give them medicine?
That one can come visit me too. Oh, that sounds awesome.
I have a penguin who's obsessed with sports and like working out and shit. That's like all the.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, that's my anteater.
That is throwing my ego. He wears armor and he's always talking about like Scott! Working out, pumping. Yeah, he has on like this. Yeah, so I have him. I have my favorite Savannah, who's like this very classy zebra. She has on this really nice coat. This Chard, who is a rabbit. And he has to remind me several times that he's super excited for Bunny Day. Hop along, hop along. I have Apple, who is I think hamster, and she's way too happy for me. I can't deal with that. She says she says cheekers a lot. Cheekers.
What's your eagle's name?
Australian.
There was an eagle named Apollo. He's like a bald eagle, and he was like my favorite one in the first game. So I'm like trying to figure out if there's a way I could specifically get him or whatever. He was just like a really grumpy asshole to me in the first game. I loved it.
Yeah. So villagers,
dude, we're coming Animal Crossing cast. Love it.
But
before we get too deep into Animal Crossing and Animal Crossing, there is at least one news story we should talk about this week.
Oh, before we do that, I played Stadia.
That's the other news story we should talk about this week, I guess.
Yeah, well, yeah, cause I mean, that's the reason I played it, right? Because
it's free for a month.
It is now free for anybody with a Gmail account. They can access Stadia. Before, you had to pay for the Founders Edition or whatever. But Pro is available for 2 months, and that's the only way to get any free games.
Yes.
So I tried out this game called Guilt, which is a Stadia exclusive, by a studio called Tequila Works. They did a game called Rhyme, which you may know of, or Deadlight, which was a side-scrolling 2D zombie puzzle platformer. Anyway, Guilt is stylized. It looks very. Think if Pixar did like a horror movie.
Oh, interesting.
Like that type of style of human looking people and then like cartoonish monsters. The monsters are actually really well done. It's a stealth game where. You know, you're looking for your cousin in this school and in this town that has been decimated by what looks like an earthquake or something. But all the people have disappeared. And you find out that your character has been bullied for most of her life. And I guess that's the underlying theme of it all. I guess she's like taking that internal... She's like any of that internalization that she's done is now being shown in as these monsters and all the places she's ever been bullied and as she's looking for her cousin. Anyway, gameplay wise, it's pretty decent. I'm enjoying it. And it could just be my internet connection is very good, but if I had stumbled across somebody playing this, it would have been like, oh, like it just looks like you're playing a PC game.
Okay. That was going to be my main question is like, how does the technology hold up? Because I think if anything, this would be the prime testing time when everybody's home using internet for a bajillion other things. How does a streaming console work?
Like it looks good. Like visually, it like there. I didn't see any artifacting. There was no input delay in for my controller. Like I just plugged in Xbox One controller. It recognizes it immediately. Changes the inputs on the screen just like if you're playing a PC game that you plug in an Xbox One controller, it like recognizes that and changes the inputs from the keyboard to the controller. And it looks good. Today when I started playing, it looked a little, I thought it looked a little grainy, shortly in it cleared up. So I don't know if it was that area of the game was just maybe a little foggy, or if that's just that came through at a lower resolution and cleared up as the internet got better. But I was actually pretty impressed with it. I'm gonna try out Destiny on it because I think that's a
good test.
Yeah, yes. like shooting things and with other people, because like I could try out Crucible, right, and see how that reacts with how does a streaming console work with a game where you're playing
that is online,
an online competitive multiplayer game. Like, so I'm gonna try that out. We'll see how that works. But I'm impressed with what I played. I cannot see myself buying games from this service unless they are exclusive. But
I will say, I am honestly surprised it took them this long to offer not even free games, because I mean, not everybody, but I'm surprised they hadn't offered like demos of this service before to be proof of concept. Because it's not just, because what is it, 9 games? I mean, granted, I've seen the list and I don't know if I would pay most of them.
Yeah, it's like SteamWorld Dig, Stadia. The ones that I currently have, it's like Grid, which actually Grid might be a good one to try out. It's a racing game. So it's like a high frame rate type game. Serious Stam, the collection, so all 3 of those games. Stacks on Stacks, I don't know what that is. Splitling, SteamWorld Quest, Thumper, which might be a challenging title to try with this. And Destiny 2. So that's it. Like, there's not a ton of like free games that come with Pro, and just like with PlayStation Plus PlayStation Plus? Is that like their Xbox Live Gold, right?
PlayStation Now.
Now is the streaming service.
Yes.
Yeah, no, Plus is the one where like you get the games free every month. Like,
yeah, Plus is their, it's their online.
They're gold. Yeah, so just like that, or Gold, where if you stop having an account, like you lose access to the game. So like when I inevitably cancel Stadia Pro before the 2 months runs out, I won't be able to play any of these games again, but unless I resubscribe.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say the good thing is, like you said, it's 2 months free. I believe as a YouTube Premium member, I also get 3 months. I don't think they stack, but I mean, I will give it a shot eventually.
Yeah,
and I guess technically speaking, you could just keep on making Gmail accounts.
Yeah, I guess you could.
Not that I'm advocating that. If you're listening, my good friends at
Google,
As I say that into my Android phone.
They've just blacklisted you. You're not getting anything anymore, Earl.
No, I put up, I love you. Yay.
I'm a little confused by some of this stuff. Like, they have achievements, but I don't know how to access them. Like, I don't know how to see which ones I have from their menu here. And they're just like, there's no points associated. It's just like getting a trophy, a little chime dings, and a shitty looking achievement notification pops up. I also don't know how to stream from here. I thought like that was one of the hooks of Stadia, was that you could like you'd be able to press a button and just stream directly to YouTube.
Oh, I did not know that.
I don't see that. Maybe I misread what they had, but I don't see an easy way to stream to. Oh wait, here we go. Well, you can save a clip or save a screenshot, but not. It doesn't say how. It doesn't tell me how to. But yeah, so Stadia's out there. And there was another piece of news you said, Earl.
Well, the PlayStation 4, the PlayStation 5 controller.
Yeah.
The DualSense.
What do you guys think of that thing?
It looks like a controller.
Yeah. It's a chunkier PlayStation controller.
I think the controller has been pretty much perfected by this point. Like, just in general, like, I think the Switch Pro controller is awesome. Xbox controller is awesome, and PlayStation controller is all right, and that one looks all right too.
Do you guys like the two-tone?
I don't mind it. I think it's. I think they should tone it down a bit because it is. I mean, technically, it's two tones. Then it has a different accent because the blue is also there.
Yeah,
and that lights up. So it's just weird. It's because the PlayStation. I mean, I guess mine is two-tone because I have the God of War controller. It's it's silver on top and then it's like a gray on the bottom. So I don't mind it. I think most people would prefer, and I could be wrong, it reverse where the black is on top and the white is on bottom. If you are going to do the two-tone,
yeah, I'm just wondering, like, isn't that's going to get dirty?
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I mean, not it's like they get dirty anyway, but like that's like white is just asking for it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's fine.
I hate to pick on Sony because but it's the same complaint I've had the last time they spoke about the PS5 and the last time we spoke about the Xbox Series One. Is I do not get how these companies are growing their systems.
Yeah, like here's some shit.
Here's a controller. Okay.
It has a touchpad again.
Which I'm not surprised they're keeping.
No. If they're going to do backwards compatibility with
PS4, yeah, that's what they kind of saying. I honestly, and I could be mistaken, I don't know what it was really used for on the PS4.
It's like a select button. like a really big select button.
Okay.
I know you could bring up menus and stuff, but there were a couple games, like I think Uncharted used it. The Order, I think The Order used it, 1886.
Okay.
I think, and early on, I think like Knack and Killzone used it. But yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think it ever became a big thing. Did they get rid of the light bar? Or is there like a front?
No, that's what the light bar isn't there, but that's why it blew a sense there. So I think it lights up in the front around the touchpad now.
I hate that light bar.
I mean, it's a good idea. Again, that the times I know it's a weird setup because it's in front of the controller.
Yeah.
So you either have to play in a dark room or have the controller facing upwards, which is not what you do when you play a video game.
who plays with the controller like tilted at a weird angle?
Yeah, so. And I mean, again, I know some games used it for like, the only games I can really think of that used it were kind of like the multiplayer games where it's like, oh, this is how you could tell which character you are. It seems like, okay, and I hate to be that. Like, you know, Nintendo has their tendency of overdoing their controllers. I've enjoyed most of their experiments. I know not everybody's a fan. But at least when they overdo it, they're kind enough to be like, okay, we're going to go with it. And it might drive people some nuts, but it's like, yes, we are going to put motion controls in your Mario, your Zelda, your Metroids. We are going to put a touchpad in your 2D Mario games and your 3D Mario games. Sony's like, we're going to put it in the system, and you can use it if you want. We're not going to bother with it. Like, I remember when the 6-axis came out, like, I remember Uncharted used it. I think Euro used it. And then, like, after like the first year, nobody else bothered with it.
Yeah. But
I don't know. It's not. It doesn't make me want to buy it. Doesn't make me not want to buy a PlayStation 5. So it's a controller.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing when people kind of get up in their ways about how a console looks. I'm like, I am with you. I will have an initial reaction, but like honestly, I take it out of a box. It goes underneath my TV, my entertainment stand. I don't care what it looks like. The disc slot is in front. I'm good to go. Right.
Yeah.
It's the controller too. Once you pick it up, I mean, you never look at it again.
Right.
It's in your hands.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's not the.
How does it feel? Like, can I hit that easily? Did they press?
That's more important than anything.
That's more important because I remember with the PlayStation. Yeah, the PlayStation 4, and I think I hate the triggers because I always feel like I'm going to break those buttons because there's nothing behind them, and you press them like outward, which is, like you press them down, but it feels like you're pressing them outward. That's always bugged me. I prefer the Xbox and Nintendo way of like pressing them into the controller.
Plus, I don't think the person who designed the PS3 controller ever put it down. Because every time you put that controller down, it's like, bam! I hit both R and L every time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, oh yeah, let me pause this game. Oh crap! I just threw a grenade.
Yeah, like I think it's an improvement over the PS3 controller, which was hot garbage, and made for like little people, like gnomes. Like, that thing was so fucking small.
Wasn't the PS3 controller like exactly like the PS2 one, or am I like remembering it
wrong? They're all like each other, but they're not. And one, like you're skipped, like you would have to, because the PlayStation 3 had two controllers, it had the 6-axis, and then they phased that out for the DualShock 3, which brought back the Rumble.
Yeah.
Which made it a little bit heavier, but it was basically the same form factor.
Yeah.
So that like it was the same thing, but it was kind of, like the whole PlayStation 3 is just really funny in hindsight because, as people pointed out, like this also looks like Sony's finally getting around to doing the boomerang they wanted to do the PlayStation 3 concept.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I am curious if part of the reason they're doing it this way is like, so they don't have fan reactions, because like the PlayStation 3, like the boomerang, they went back on after fans complained about it. This one is like, this is your controller, deal with it. We're not giving you like a year and a half to complain about this.
It's also more aesthetically pleasing than that boomerang controller was, though. Like, it looks more like a controller.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have mind a boomerang, because I actually do think that it's nice to have the longer handle, but who knows?
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out. And I don't foresee myself getting a PS5 at launch, but I will get one eventually.
I mean, does anybody foresee themselves getting a system this year?
if the Series X comes out, maybe, provided you know I stall the job.
I mean, it's not nothing. Unemployment's only hitting, you know, Great Depression levels right now. So you're good to go.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I know. I was gonna say. I'm kind of with Chris. Like, I don't know. I probably get the new Xbox just because I know I'm gonna get the new Xbox at some point. So if it does come out, I will probably get it. But PS5. If I buy that thing, it'll be on the tail end of its life. Like, it'll be
to play
like a PS4 now. Like, if I buy a PS4 right now, you know. I don't know. I'm good with Xbox and Nintendo. Like, I'm fine.
Yeah. I mean, well, I guess Halo Infinite is coming out on both, right? Like, it's coming out on Xbox One and...
The Xbox Series One, yeah.
So I suppose, like, I don't... There's nothing, like, I need to get the new system for, but... it would lift my spirits to have something new and shiny.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the thing, where I'm, like, kind of in the same boat as you exactly, where I'm like, I know I'm going to get the new Xbox...
Yeah.
But if there's no reason I have to buy it right away, I do think the Xbox One X is like a really great system as is. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
if I can't, like if it comes down, like I just can't, I'll wait. But
it's because they've turned it into more like buying a new phone now, where it's like it doesn't really matter. So if it was like, hey, the new Xbox is coming out, and if you want to play Halo, that's how you're going to do it, then yeah, absolutely, I would be getting it, you know?
Right,
right.
Just the fact that like everything kind of just carries over is like, I like that. It's great, like to be able to pull that entire Xbox library that I now have, you know, over 500 games on, spanning what at that point will be four generations of it.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. But we'll see. I'm sure that we'll all end up playing the systems at some point.
That is the other thing I'm curious about this year. I mean, I guess it's not a huge thing in the grand scheme of things. It's like, but when will people get to play these systems?
Yeah.
I'm more worried about games, dude. Like, what if we don't get a back half of the year on games and shit? Or like,
oh, we'll get a back half of the year, but the back half of the year would be stuff that was due out. Like, I had this discussion today. The Last of Us is probably going to be. It's going to be a cross-gen title now, I imagine. I always thought it was going to be, but I think Synecdoche Sony were like, okay, we sell it to you in June, then we sell an enhanced version to you in November. Yeah, I think that's going to be it. But I meant more of... Oh, that was the other piece of news that we did not talk about. It's not really news, but it did come out this week that E3 is not even going to have like their unofficial digital event they were going to try to do.
Right.
So there's no E3 at all this year.
Darn.
Also, Microsoft has said that they are going digital first presentations for
until 2021, until like June of 2021.
July 2021. So even through E3 of next year. Now, I mean, they might relax that at some point, but and who knows what that digital first means. Maybe it's just like, hey, we're going to do digital, but may have a physical like event at some point, but for a year out they're doing digital first presentations, I guess. Crazy times.
Yeah. Let's make some crazy money.
What were you guys gonna say?
I'm sick of crazy times. Bring back the 90s.
Sometimes I miss them.
I mean, relatively normal compared to this, right?
I mean, I don't know. Like, relatively normal as in I was a teenager or, you know, college age at that point in time, and my life was way simpler, and I didn't have to think about anything.
Well, I don't want that back, but to Jeff's point, yeah, I do miss going outside. That was nice.
You could do then.
Overrated. Come on, who needs that?
Yeah, I mean, it's like we joked about earlier. Like people, it's Easter weekend. It's Good Friday tomorrow. A lot of people are off, and it's like, oh, what are you going to do? Sit at home, playing video games. What have you been doing all week? Sitting at home, playing video games. It's like. Like somebody was like, "Oh, I'm so looking forward to Friday to me early." I'm like, "I don't know what that means anymore." Like, I always just look forward to Friday, and it's like, it's just another day at this point.
Just another day. I'm gonna go sit in my basement and play video games.
that does remind me. Just so because I've asked this on Twitter, are you folks still getting dressed every day, except for Jeff, who has to actually go to work?
Yes.
Define dressed.
Doesn't mean I have to get dressed.
Yeah, let's get your definition, because Tony and I might have different answers here.
Well, let me get your definition.
I am getting up, I'm taking a shower, and putting new clothes on.
Yeah, I'm not wearing the same clothes I wore the day before.
I'm not getting dressed like I would for work, but I'm getting dressed, like I'm putting new clothes on.
Okay. No, because I have people who are like, one, I've had people say like, oh yeah, I've been wearing like the same sweatpants for like a week straight. I'm like, that is not cool in general.
No, no.
Well, if you live by yourself, I mean, do whatever. But yeah. You know,
I still wouldn't. I still wouldn't do that.
You like smell. You have like an odor around you. Maybe if you're with other people, you shouldn't do that.
Oh, no, because I've asked people, and people are like, yeah, I sit around in like, basketball shorts all day. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm not doing that either. Like, I still...
Okay, that is what I do, but...
Like, I'm not saying I get dressed in like a three-piece suit or anything like that, but I kind of get dressed in I do what I would do if I was going outside anyhow on a weekend or my days off, which is like throwing a t-shirt and some jeans. And I wear jeans because even though shorts are more comfortable and sweatpants are comfier as well, like jeans bring that certain level of discomfort that makes you like, okay, I'm not gonna sit here and relax. And like I still do my stupid Monday tradition of like getting up and ironing up my button up and my sacks for that day, just because it helps me at least divide the week and start off Monday like a normal week, and then it evolves from there. And like I said, my big personal project has been I'm wearing a bunch of t-shirts just so I can wear them and then get rid of them, because we've been here for a month now, a month tomorrow. And I think I wore something like 20 t-shirts, and I'm still like halfway through my collection yet. So I'm like, needed time to prune them anyhow, so might as well.
Fair enough. All right, well, hopefully maybe this week we'll actually get that board game night going.
That's right.
Yes.
Let's schedule that for Tuesday, and we'll just make that announcement early on. We're going to try to play this.
That is fair. Let's do it for Tuesday. Because what happens, and I don't know how it keeps happening, is like in isolation, somehow everybody's still always booked up. Myself included. Because I was trying with you folks. I'm trying with another group to get a board game thing going. And I'm like, oh yeah, like we could do it Thursday. Like, no, I podcast on Thursday. What about Friday? Oh no, that's somebody else's D&D dynamic. How is it that we're all busy doing nothing from home?
We're all busy doing nothing.
There's too much nothing to do. I can't keep up with the nothing.
I mean, to be fair, Ed, I don't know. This is my mentality is I'm just trying to do anything, so I'm not thinking about the fact that I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. Because otherwise you just sit there and you watch the numbers go up, and that's not healthy. So.
Yeah. Or you watch idiots complain about, like, this is the 5G, or what's the new one people are talking about now? Oh, yes. Oh, they're only talking about like 60,000 deaths, down from like 2.2 million. It's like, yes, because what we're doing is working. And that's why I hated the whole concept of, because the only way to prove that social distance is working is by nothing bad happening. So when nothing bad happens, people are like, oh, they overreacted. It's like, no, because they overreacted.
Exactly. We reacted correctly, and now...
It's still going to be pretty bad. I mean, we're going to lose like a lot of people. Yeah, maybe not as much as it could have been, obviously.
But, like, exactly. But that was the point of doing this, yeah, is that we wouldn't lose as many people.
That's why we're doing this, yeah.
When it's, and you can see, like, the... I guess Pence just announced that like Philadelphia is like looking like it might be the next hotspot. And that's because the idiots in this city aren't fucking paying attention, and they're going out the parks and like riding their quads down the fucking South Street. And, what the fuck is wrong with you people? Like, you don't go play soccer in the middle of this thing. Like, that's not, no. But whatever. We'll have Final Fantasy VII. Well, I will have Final Fantasy VII Remake for next week. I don't know if anybody else here is playing it, but
not me, my friends. Just don't care. Like,
it's fine. It's not gonna be for everybody. I have fond memories of that game. So,
well, that's the thing is, like, I've played seven parts of it, like way after the fact. Like, I don't have that emotional, like, I don't have any connection to the series, so, like, I don't...
Right.
Like, what I have played of Final Fantasy, like, I've played through one of the newest ones, the one... What was the one we gave Game of the Year? 15?
You played 15.
You know...
You gave it Game of the Year, and you don't remember which one it was.
I did not give
Jeff,
it Game of the Year.
Jeff did not.
You guys, oh, okay.
I did not either.
Tony did not either.
And I was not here for that, so it sounds like you're throwing your fingers at one person here.
What I have played of the series, like
I did support that. It was not my Game of the Year.
It's Chris's fault, is what we're saying.
It is. It's just like when Breath of the Wild won.
Right.
Was it somebody just wore you down and you're like, whatever, it's game of the year?
I think Fozzie and Pete were both on that game of the year podcast, and they were both big on it. Which, fine. Like, I like that game. It's good. It's not game of the year, but it's not bad, like some people say.
Well, it's game of the year.
Still playing it. He's played through it like 3 times.
Yeah.
I thought it was an okay game, but it wasn't enough to get me into the series. Like, it's just.
It is the least Final Fantasy of all the Final Fantasy games, Jeff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, again, I've played here. I think I played some of Final Fantasy VI, and I thought that was pretty cool, but it's, you know. I don't know. I wasn't there at I wasn't there for that game at the time. Like, I was alive, but you know, I was playing different games. It's just, you know, I don't know.
It's fine. Okay. Like, it's like, understandable, and I am interested in seeing what they do with it. So,
are you the only one here getting it?
Possibly.
I might get it. I mean, it depends. I get paid tomorrow. The one positive of this whole ordeal is like I'm not spending money, so I have a lot of money in my bank account right now. That's just kind of sitting there wondering what I'm not doing with it. And like I said, I am looking for an RPG. I hear it's about 20-25 hours, which is ideal for me.
That's the number I like to hear about RPGs nowadays too. Like, there used to be a time where I'd be like, oh, it's only 40 hours. That's not long enough. But now it's like 40 hours. That's a lot of time to put. Like, yeah. I could play 4 other games in that time. Or, and like hearing 20-25 hours, like that's like that's perfect. Like, that means there's not a lot of filler. Or if there is filler, it's
I have very, very limited experience of Final Fantasy VII, so I won't even know like what has or hasn't been changed. So I'm like, yeah, it's a new game to me. I'm pretty sure I can find PlayStation credit for discounted prices if I need to.
I weirdly had $25 sitting in my PlayStation wallet, so like, I don't know where this money came from. And I haven't bought anything on PlayStation in probably like a year. It only cost me $35 out of my real money. I knew I had. Yeah. So that was nice. So we'll have that next week. Real quick before we leave, I played this game called Sigil. Which is a Doom WoD. It is a campaign created by John Romero, one of the original devs of Doom. You can play it on the Xbox and Switch and PlayStation versions of Doom, the original Doom. You have to go to the add-ons. This is a campaign that got a physical release for Limited Run Games. It has a soundtrack by Buckethead on Spotify. And it's a fucking awesome Doom game. It is Romero's take on what happened in between Doom and Doom 2. And it is like super brutal levels. They look great, like lots of reds and blacks. It's not very bullshitty like Doom 2 was. So, Jeff, since I know you have Doom, you should go look that one up. I think you'll like that.
So you said it's on the recent re-release of
So if you go, if you boot up the original Doom, the recent remake of it.
Yeah.
Not remake, but the recent rig release.
Yeah. The one like just came out and everything.
Yep. And then there's a menu option add-ons. Go on there and just look up Sigil.
Okay.
You can look up, like, they have featured ones too, so you can download like different levels that people have made. But this one's made by like one of the original devs of Doom from his studio, Romero Games. And it's really neat.
When did he actually make the game though?
When did
he make Sigil?
Last year. Like, it released last year. So it is new Doom levels. It's a whole new Doom campaign that was released last year.
Yeah, it looks. Oh yeah, it's like classic Doom.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's not. It doesn't look like it's all in the Doom engine. Like it is just he made more Doom.
Cool, dude. Fuck yeah. I'm almost done with. I have like I think I'm on level 22 of Doom 64.
Yeah, you're getting pretty close.
There was a level, I think it was level 21, that did annoy the shit out of me. Like, I was just, it took me like a half hour to beat. I was just like, what the fuck? Just completely lost, running in circles, driving me nuts.
Does Doom 64, and you would think I would remember this as I just beat it, but does it have like par times? Like when you beat a level?
I don't think so. I think it just tells you your time, you know?
Yeah, because I'm playing through these sigil levels, and I'm like, they're like, part time, 2.5 minutes, and it took me 22 minutes. How does somebody do this in 2.5 minutes? It's nuts.
The first game, for sure, like the original Doom, definitely has that part time shit. And I just remember being like, "Yeah, you'd have to like be speed running the level. Like you'd have to know everything to hit that part time."
Like, yeah, like the only one I could ever do is the first level. Because like everyone knows that by heart at this point.
Exactly. Yeah.
Run to the exit. All right. We'll be back next week with Final Fantasy VII Remake. Maybe Jeff will finish Doom 64. Tony will play some more Madden Blaine, and we'll probably talk more Animal Crossing.
Yes.
Even as Tony and I get less and less interested in it.
Well, we'll be done our first event next week, so we'll see how Bunny Days goes for everybody.
Oh, right. That is Sunday, right? Bunny Day is Sunday.
Does everyone else have a fishing tourney on Saturday, though?
I do, too, I think.
I don't know.
Go check your bulletin board.
A fishing tournament, yeah.
The only thing on my bulletin board was somebody's birthday. April
7th. Yeah, I have a birthday coming up. But, yeah, there should be, at least for me, there's a fishing tournament this Saturday, too.
All right,
I got two stuff coming up this weekend.
I'll have to check.
Exciting stuff, guys.
I haven't done a whole lot of fishing recently in it. I've just been going and digging up my fossils.
Fishing is my least favorite in a way, mostly because I just get so many repeats all the time. It's just like,
yeah, but that one time,
I know. It's like so exciting when you get like an oar fish or something. You're like, whoa! Like this giant thing comes out of the water. So cool.
I just keep getting like black bass and
I know
black bass,
the most meta of all fishes.
Yeah.
I could do like give me that like stupid slogan like once but not every single time. Like you know, maybe once every 10 of those dumb fish.
Yeah,
not every time. I don't need it. I also don't need a Blathers like. Startling Woo-hoo! Waking up each fucking time, and then
going to that spiel.
We've talked about the spiels though, the consistent over and over again.
The worst is going to like someone's island or opening your island where it's like 20 questions. Like, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? How do you want to do it? Like, you're like, Jesus Christ, can you just give me a menu to fucking choose all this shit at once?
Well, the worst part is if you mess up, like sometimes I'm just pressing A because I just want to get through it. I'm like, crap, why is Yoku Pay the first one? I never want Yoku Pay. I want online pay. Like, I have to go through this entire thing again. Like, can I just go back to that previous choice? It's like, no, you have to have him say, oh, we're sorry, and start the whole thing again. I'm like, and then, like, last Sunday, I had turnips to 90 bells, which is a good price for them. So I let my friends know, and I'm like, okay, no problem. I'll just leave the game on. And the thing is, it's just so annoying. You're sitting there, like, every 5 seconds, so-and-so is trying to enter your town. And then you go through the whole animation where you see them come in, and I'm like, ugh. And then and then I got a bunch of people, which I was fine with. I knew... But then they all have to leave, and then they leave one by one. You can go to the animation for that as well. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
One other thing that kind of drives me nuts is in the Able Sisters, if you go in the dressing room to like look at the clothing options and shit, let's say you want to buy something, you can only buy one thing at a time, and then it'll be like, okay, you bought this, and then you come out of the dressing room. So it's like, if you want to buy a second clothing item, you have to go through the whole process of going into the dressing room. Yeah, you do, dude.
No, with the emphasis, you can only buy one thing of the same type.
Oh,
but like,
well,
if you get a hat, shirt, shoe, like you can get a whole wardrobe.
Where I've tried to mix it up.
No, because
like,
the first time I went in there, if you get a whole different, like if you get a different hat, glasses, whatever, they'll make you buy the entire outfit at once. But you can't have you can't buy three shirts.
Regardless, it's like, just don't automatically kick me out of the dressing room. Like, I don't care. Like, it's just the way that's like set up is like, I think it's weird. Anyways,
I don't spend my money on frivolous stuff like clothing.
Oh, you gotta, dude, you gotta. I spend money all the shops every day. Like, and if someone comes to town, like the carpet guy, whatever, I'm buying what he's got. Like,
I have to save up like $7 billion to pay off Tom Nook so I can build my dream home.
And there's no interest. You take it at your own pace. You gotta like get the cool shit. Like, the awesome Doom looking room I got going as my main room now was like shit I got off of buying mystery like, you know, flooring and wallpaper from him. Or her. I don't know if it's him or her. I have no idea. I don't even, what is her name? It's like, it's like Sahara or something.
Oh, the camel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but I buy whatever the fuck. Like, I always, every time I see that thing, like, I'm buying whatever it's got.
Right. And just for Tony and my sake, as we are overloaded with our inventory, we can get a fourth row by using our Nook Miles.
I did it right after Jeff mentioned it. Ran right in there.
Pretty sweet, right?
Yeah.
What is it called? Is it just like inventory expansion?
It's like pocket, extra pocket, or
like pocket expert,
something pocket. Yeah.
Okay. Because I could use that extra row, because it's can only go pick up like half the shit.
Especially since like you're getting around the island stuff takes up like half, like a third of your inventory.
Yes, it's my entire top row.
I guess to be fair, at some point, some of that, like, you don't, like, at some point once you get terraform, you won't need the ladder and the pole vault as much. You get to a point where you could build bridges, so you won't need the pole vault anyhow.
Yeah, I could probably build bridges now, but it's just like
they're not cheap either.
Right, it's like I have to build all these to get all these resources. So fuck it, I have a stick that I can jump across this river with.
Yeah,
I actually do it like that, and it also doesn't break. So,
all right, I will buy that. And that will maybe make my experience slightly less hasslesome. All right, we'll be back next week with shit. Stop.
We'll be happy and healthy after 5 weeks of isolation.
Yeah, it's crazy. We are coming up on 5 weeks. So.
Sorry.
Oh, yes. I guess not all of us are coming up on 5 weeks. Some of us are outside spitting on people's mail.
Yeah.
But he's getting to see all the cool shit, like the Pillsbury Doughboy, asking for cookies.
We don't get to see anything. I get to look at the same wall. It's great. Nice wall.
I mean,
can go outside, you know, like, or can't you? Like,
they really don't encourage you to go outside.
I know.
Like, if you need to go shopping, but they're really like, if you don't have to, like, I know New Jersey just closed down all state parks because people were going there to like, get away from stuff. And like for us, the parks are still open, but it's like they're like, don't take public transportation. I'm like, then how do I get to the park? I don't drive.
My boss today was like, hey, like you should get a routine going. Like, I'm like, I miss going, like, seeing my coffee lady. She's like, look, the coffee shop's still open. I'm like, I am not driving there, putting her at risk, like, to go say hi to the nice Dunkin' Donuts lady. I can make coffee at my house.
Yeah, and that's, that's the thing. It's like, I was just talking to a friend, I might do a beer run tomorrow. I might walk to the beer store, it's about an hour away. But I'm like, if it's a nice, well, maybe not tomorrow, because I do technically still work. So, like, Saturday. But, Yeah, just like I've always been terrible at wandering. It's not one of my strong suits. I have a destination in mind, so it's really awkward. And like I walked around today, and like everything in my neighborhood's closed. Like outside of a few like Caribbean restaurants and the supermarkets, nothing's open. The liquor stores, even some of the Chinese restaurants are closed. The chicken joints are closed. The only food places that I saw open was I think the pizzeria and Domino's, and I used two separate terms for that because Domino's is not a pizzeria. No Subways, no Dunkin' Donuts. And gas stations, I guess.
Yeah. Our pizza shop is still open, so we order pizza from there once a week. Hopefully they're not getting hit too hard by all this, but anyway, you know, we'll find some ways to keep ourselves occupied. and we are going to try that board game thing this week, so we'll report back on that.
On something, but yes. Yep.
We should live stream the board gaming.
Sure.
I'm sure that is, well, yes, I found out about somebody who live streams the crossword puzzle, so I guess you can stream anything.
That's yeah. Right.
I mean, I'm not sure what game we're going to play. But
that's the fun in it.
Yeah. So we will try that poker. we don't need to do board game night for that.
Poker night.
Plenty of poker interfaces for us to utilize. There's that free one on Xbox One.
That one's really good. I will play that anytime you guys want.
Oh, we were supposed to download that some time ago to play with Jeff, weren't we?
Prominence Poker, I think it's called.
I have it downloaded. I'm just saying.
It's real good.
Okay. Xbox is all hello right now. But yes, good night.
Yes. All right. Or I'll say it again.
Good.